God has put something within us about being a people who will forgive. We're seeing it modeled in Jesus Christ. And it was, I think, sometimes we get caught up in all of this stuff, and it was just really, really helpful. And I think what happened is that when we look at some of these things in Thessalonians, I believe that God is putting steel in our convictions. God is putting steel in our convictions by the power of the Holy Spirit to stand up for who we are, to stand up for our faith in Jesus Christ. So this morning, what are these last two schemes that Satan will try to use? That Satan tried to use to throw the people in Thessalonica off their faith, and he will still do it again today. Number four, I think this is the fourth scheme of the enemy. He will try to wreck Christians building genuine friendships with other believers. When you read this letter, you see that Paul was writing to these Christians at Thessalonica with an extraordinary sense of profound friendship for them. And he felt very, very warm towards these people in Thessalonica. So this is what it says. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 17. But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavoured more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face, because we wanted to come to you. I, Paul, and again, but Satan hindered us. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 12 says this. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you. Now, I think Paul could have made all sorts of excuses for the reason why he wasn't able to travel to go and see this church at Thessalonica again. He could have said, look, I'm really busy. I'm church planting all around the Mediterranean. I've got all sorts of really important apostolic. I am an apostle, don't you know? You know, I've got a lot of things to do. I've got emails to answer. I've got people to see. I've got leaders to train up. But actually what he said was this. I really wanted to come and be with you. But Satan stopped us. I think at this point, there was a sense of Satan intentionally derailing Christian friendships. Put your hand up if you have ever seen that happen. Do you know what you think? It is a great, great scheme of the enemy to cause division between brothers and sisters. And you know what? I've just seen it happen. So many times. Do you know, I've probably been the cause of it. God, forgive me for doing that. I'm sure we've all been the cause of it at different times. And I've mentioned before, a member of my close family used to go to church. Somebody said something to her once, and the enemy got hold of it. And she's never been back to church. Oh, what tragedy. What utter tragedy that sort of thing could happen. And you think, we need to be bigger people. We need to be people who have this sense of honour. This is what the enemy is trying to do. And this is how we'll counter it with love and affection and forgiveness. And when people hurt us, what do? We go to them and say, oh, that hurt me, but we're going beyond that, aren't we? We're not going to stay there. We're not going to allow that to shape who we are. There's a really interesting thing that comes out in chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. Because it says this, for what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our crown and glory. Now, so what happens is, Dave, just stand up. This is God, okay? This is God. No, this is Jesus. Let's say it's Jesus. He's just returned back to earth. And I stand before him, and I'm saying to him, look, all these people here, these are my crown and glory. And Jesus says, yeah, no, you're right. All these friends that you've got, all these people in the church, they're your crown and glory. And he says, yeah, no, that's right. Thank you, Dave. That's all you need to do. So the thing is, when I stand face to face with Christ, the friends that I have invested in now, they're going to be my crown and glory. So I think that is saying that our friendship lasts longer than our mortal lives. I think there will be a time when we see each other face to face in heaven and we'll think, hello, my friend. How are you? There will come a time when we do that. Bryn and Sandra, I don't want to make them pick out them too much. Bryn was in our youth club, weren't you? Many years ago. So when Jill and I, many, many years ago, I was probably, Jill and I, we did youth work at a church in Wimbledon. Bryn was part of the, he was like a young person in the youth club. Actually, we've got quite a lot of history. So Bryn now does an extraordinary amount of stuff. Is a trustee of the church. We work together. It's a real partnership. But, you know, there's something I feel. There's an investment there. And so Bryn does loads of stuff. So he's working on contracts and is a solicitor, but then he's coming up and playing worship. And Sandra, and they're doing all the prayer ministry. Do you know, I think in years to come, we are in a new heavens and a new earth, and this everything has been made new, and we're worshipping Jesus, I'll see Bryn and Sandra, and I'll say, hello, my friend. And we'll think, do you know, there's something about it. That's what it's saying here in 1 Thessalonians, that actually we're investing in something now that will last for an eternity. And, that, you know, the devil really, really, really wants to make sure that doesn't happen. He wants to screw it up. He wants to make you think, actually, no, I don't really trust your motivations on that. I don't really think you're doing the right thing. All the time. Now, it doesn't mean that we will always get on with each other and life will always be easy. But I think it's a scheme and a trick of the enemy we need to nail and be well aware of. You know, I think, you know, when we work with our venues, we need to work hard so you can have a cup of tea and we can enjoy each other's friendship. But I think the friendship of Paul and the Thessalonians wasn't based on like a cup of tea at the end of the service, was it? It wasn't based on that. It was based on something far more profound. It was based on going through suffering together. It was based on, okay, working through the issues of life together. So working through how is this church going to grow? It was based on suffering together. It was based on spending time together. It was based on encouraging one another at all times. That is how our friendship really, really built. And this, I just want to point out this most extraordinary verse, okay, from 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 8, and it says this. This is Paul saying to the Thessalonians, for now we live if you are standing firm. I just think, oh my word. So Paul, this extraordinary apostle who's gone the whole way around the Mediterranean, like planting churches in extraordinary success, and people say, you know, he was only at Thessalonica for 3 weeks and a church was established there. He preached, he was like quite a powerful man. And that he says, look, if you're standing firm, I'm alive. It's amazing, isn't it? His life was caught up in the Thessalonians. His life was caught up on the fence that, oh no, God has put something in your life. There is steel in your convictions. The Holy Spirit has done something in you. And when I see that, I come alive. And if I don't see that, just a little bit of me withers. And it was really interesting. So when Dave was up here this morning saying, oh no, come on, let's stir ourselves. Let's not be passive in pursuing the presence of God. You think, yeah, no, that's good. That is right. Because when we see one another alive in Christ, I am alive as well. Because we are inextricably bound up together. And I think Paul wanted to be encouraged by the Thessalonians. And I remember years ago, a guy called Terry Virgo, who established New Frontiers, and he was like, he's quite a big sort of guy, and he invited myself and like just a handful of other people to go to his house and pray. And I was quite intimidated by that, because, you know, Terry would be up on stage, you know, before sort of 20,000 people at these Bible weeks, and, you know, and he'd be preaching, he'd be going all around the world, And then he would then say, right, let's meet together in my front room. Let's gather around and let's pray. And I think, yeah, right. You can pray, Terry. There ain't no way I'm praying. Because, you know, there's this big man. And I think, I need to look. Do you know what? I realized after a while, the very reason that Terry asked us into that his front room to pray is because he wanted to be encouraged by us. And I was just worried, and I was so consumed with myself, and I was so consumed with getting something wrong, and so consumed with saying the wrong thing, and sort of like praying at the same time as somebody else. And I thought, oh, for goodness. And in the end, you just realize, when I prayed, Terry was saying, yeah, amen, amen. And it wasn't a particularly good prayer or anything like that. But he just wanted to be encouraged. And I think there's something about this. When Paul says, for we now live, if you are standing firm. I think there's something about coming together as a church. And you know, the thing, these, I moaned for so many years about the red seats where we in our previous venue. So many years. And I just moaned on the smell of cabbage in St. James's Hall where we used to meet. And now we've got these lovely things. And you know what these lovely things do? They make us feel that we're sitting down and we're watching and we're spectating something. And I am never going to moan about these seats. Trust me. Okay. Never. But there's something about the way that this is laid out that it means, okay, I'm here to spectate. I'm here just to watch what's going on. And I just need to let you know, no, you are not. You are here to encourage the person who's sitting in front of you. And also, to be really blunt with you, you are here to encourage me and I'm here to encourage you. That's what it's about. And that's what we get from Paul talking about the church in Thessalonians. No, it's about encouraging one another. We had this joining the church course the other night, which was great fun. 12 new people that have just sort of been around in the church in the last sort of like couple of months or so, and just hearing some of the things that they were saying. You know, people saying, oh, they love the encounter nights on Friday nights. And you think, oh, that's good. That's really encouraging. And I need to feed that back. And people say, oh, they really love the kids' work. And they're like, oh, it's great. It's encouraging, isn't it? We're here to encourage one another. So, trick number four. The devil really doesn't want you to build good friendships. How can you build good friendships in the church? There's a couple of reasons. I think we're going through this joining the church course. We're doing it slightly differently. So we had 12 new people down at the centre on, whenever it was, Thursday night. Next Sunday, they're all going to come back to our house for lunch. And then after that, we're going to do a four-week sort of like new person's life group sort of thing that Andrew is going to head up. Andrew Gabashian is going to head that up. And Andrew, can you, off the top of your head, can you give me some of the subjects that we're going to look at?
Okay, grace of God and your identity in Christ.
Grace of God and your identity in Christ.
The kingdom of God.
The kingdom of God.
Spiritual gifts.
Spiritual gifts.
The whole Bible.
The whole Bible.
In a 20-minute lecture.
Okay, so the other one's going to be Genesis to Revelation in 20 minutes. Yeah. In 20 minutes. Might change it. 2 weeks. Okay. So anyway, but that's what we're going to do for you, because we've realised that actually it's easy for people to come into church, but it's not always so easy actually to make your way and to build connections with people. So that's what we're going to do. Joining the church course on a Thursday night, lunch at our house, and then we're going to do this four-week course. Anybody actually is welcome to come and join that as well. I want to encourage you to build connections, to eat with people. I want to encourage you again to come to the Catalyst Conference. If you are not booked into the Catalyst Conference, I'll have to stop encouraging you to do it. But actually, what is it? It's the 15th today. The prices go up in 2 weeks' time. So I just want to encourage you to come to that, even if you just come for 1 or 2 days. And it's not just because you think, oh, we all want to go away together, but it's about a connecting together. That's the whole thing. It's about connecting together and being part, feeling that we're part of something. So we're part of something as Trinity, but we're also part of something much wider as Catalyst. And as I've said before, and we'll repeat again, if you come to that and you finished the Catalyst and you feel your money was wasted, come and tell me and I personally will refund your ticket. Because I just want to see as many of us there as can possibly be there. There you go. Last one. Trick number five. So trick number four, he wants to wreck Christian friendships. Trick number five, do you know Satan really, really wants to discourage you from developing any commitment to personal devotions? Now, can I just say, how often do we use the word quiet time now? Okay, when I was growing up, all the time. He'd use the word quiet time. Have you had your quiet time yet? Have you had your quiet time? Have you had your quiet time yet? Have you? And all the time we talk about this thing, the quiet time. And you know that we reacted against it. Because then I had people say, oh no, I don't have a quiet time, I have a noisy time. And you think, oh right, yeah, okay. And then it all got it. We lost so much ground, I think, because we stopped saying to people, do you know, to read your Bible on the quiet place in your own room is one of the most important things that we can do. And you know, Paul's success publicly, it simply mirrored his private success. 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 10 says this, we prayed most earnestly night and day that we may see your face and supply what is lacking in your faith. And in 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 2 it says this, we give thanks to God for you always, constantly mentioning you in all our prayers. And you may think, oh, what was it about Paul? Why was he so good at going all around these different towns and cities? Why is it wherever he went, he just happened to start a church? Was it just he was very gifted at that sort of thing he did? I tell you what it was. He wasn't. What Paul did is he won battles on his own in the quietness of his room. He was committed to getting away and praying for people. And to be honest, the only thing, he was just copying Jesus, because it talks about in Luke 6 that Jesus spent a really sleepless night in prayer before he appointed his disciples. He was constantly praying, and he knew that if the church at Thessalonica was going to grow, it had to be filled with people like you and me that somehow had managed to learn the art of getting home and getting our Bibles out and reading them, and somehow had learned the art of praying and seeing breakthrough in prayers on our own, and somehow had learned the art of, I don't know, I don't think Paul necessarily did this, but he may well have got his iPhone out and put a music track on and listened to it and allowed the presence of God to sweep over his life. He may well have done that. And you know what? The thing is, unless we learn that, we will be lost. Our greatest need as a church, okay, is not more money, is not more venues, is not better songs, is not more ministries, is not more meetings, it's not better preaching. It's that you and I learn how to be strengthened in God when we're in the quiet place on our own. Because coming to church once a week just doesn't cut it. I just want to ask you this question. Imagine, okay, so the prospect of having like severe persecution in the UK isn't as far off, actually, as it once, you know, 20 years ago, we'd have thought, yeah, it's never going to happen, hypothetically. But I just want you to imagine for a moment that we came under such severe persecution here that we had to stop meeting. And we had to stop communicating. Hypothetically, just imagine that. So we all just spread. We could walk past each other in the street, and we may be able to sort of like nod and say hello, but we could do no more than that. Fear, absolute fear. 2 years later, everything changed. We come back together. What would we find? Would we find a bunch of dispirited, demoralized people who are Christians in name only? Or would we find a bunch of people so on fire with the Holy Spirit that nothing could stop us? Absolutely nothing. Because what we did was we went back into the quietness of our rooms and we read the Bible and we learned to pray. Even just this week, I just heard somebody saying, they were praying for something about one of their children in the quiet place. God answered their prayers. Amen. How many times do we have to win victories in the quietness of our own place? How many times do we have to learn to read the scripture? And let's tell you what, many, many years ago, I spent a year out in Kenya. And there was this mad missionary called Chuck Kinzer, an American guy. He was totally mad. But he had to deal with all these 19-year-old boys, okay, that were a little bit too full of life sometimes. And so he would do the most crazy things with us, and he would half kill us most of the time, okay. And we would go off and sort of like live in the middle of nowhere. But he was absolutely ruthless on our Bible memory verses. And he had this, the Navigator Bible memory system. Okay. And I remember, and I'm not joking, it was New Year's Eve and I had amoebic dysentery. And if you know what amoebic dysentery is, it's not nice. And there were three or four of us boys, 19-year-old boys, okay, and it was New Year's Eve and we're thinking, oh, look, we've got to go and do something together, but we're a little bit stuck, you know, because we've got amoebic dysentery. And did you know what? The fear of God was in us that if we hadn't learnt our memory verse for that week, we would be in such trouble. So I lay on my bed, New Year's Eve, with amoebic dysentery, learning Bible memory verses. I was full of it. But now, okay, you go to the back of my Bible, I've probably got 25 or 30 verses that when I get in trouble, I know the verse. I know it. Now, I think actually, I feel I've lost ground on it. I feel that we, as a church, we've lost ground because we haven't pressed in to say, no, this is absolutely vital, that we are people who will encourage ourselves. So when we talk about praying, I know there are some people say, look, my life is just too busy. I can't pray. I need to get this. I don't even know where the story is, and I've mentioned this before, but I do know this. I have heard about some mum, and she said that her life was so busy that she just never had any time to pray. Never had any time to pray. And she had kids all around her. And so what she did was this. She sat in the middle of her kitchen, and she put a tea towel on her head. Who was it? Charles Wesley's mum, okay. The prayers worked. She sat in the kitchen and she put a tea towel on her head. And basically, bar somebody dying, nobody was allowed to talk to her. And she sat in the kitchen like this. Kids around, everything. Nobody was allowed to speak to her, bar imminent death. But she somehow did it because she learned what it was, that I have to be close to, I have to be encouraged in Christ in the quiet place on my own. I think sometimes when we want springs of living water to flow from within us, don't we? We want to be people who will speak truth into people's lives, but we're not going to do that unless we've won some of the victories in the quiet place on our own, unless we've learned what it is to read our Bibles when we go home. 1 Thessalonians 1. It says this, it is clear to us, friends, that God not only loves you very much, but has put his hand on you for something special. When the message we preached came to you, it wasn't just with words, but something happened in you. The Holy Spirit put steel in your convictions. And you need to know, that is what I have been praying for you this week. That is what I have been praying for you. That you would have steel in your convictions. That all these things, all these tricks that the enemy is trying to sort of like play to cause us not to grow, that no steel would come in your convictions. The power of the Holy Spirit, that you would value your Christian friendships. That you would be men and women who will go away in the quietness of your room and read your Bible and learn to pray. Can you stand? Lisa, could we have the band back up? Holy Spirit, I want to ask, would you come and minister to us now? And I feel that God wants to minister into some specific situations. That if you have felt a sense of regret or even shame, that you have seen Christian friendships break down around you, and you have played a part in it, or you've not played the part that you should have played in it. I want to ask you just to open up your arms right now. And Holy Spirit, we just invite you. Would you please come and minister to us now? Holy Spirit, we ask for the the washing, empowering work of you, that you would come and fill us to overflowing, that streams of living water would flow out from within us, that we would, Lord, value our Christian brothers and sisters, that we would build outstanding friendships. And Lord, would you forgive us for times when we've messed up, when we haven't been the people and the friends that you'd wanted us to be. But we thank you that this is a new day today. And we ask, come on us, Lord. Holy Spirit, come on us. Yeah. And Holy Spirit, I just ask you, would you please put steel in our convictions? Make us strong in you. That we wouldn't be tossed around by other people, but we would be, we would understand what it is to be filled with the Spirit, to be strong in you, O God. Father, thank you. I feel there may be, in a short while, the kids will come back in. But there will still be an opportunity. If you feel there are particular areas over, you know, Christian friendships that you want to, you would like somebody to pray for, you can just come down to the front, to your right-hand side, down here, and somebody will pray for you. But Holy Spirit, I just ask, keep coming and working on us now. Minister to us, we pray.